Greetings, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Musical Connections Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Snow, and this is the show where you will discover more about the music of Newfoundland and Labrador. So come along with me now and join me as we explore what makes the music scene of Newfoundland and Labrador so special, so unique, and different from its other counterparts. I got another great show lined up for you this week. I found these two guests coming by the studio, and they found Musical Connections to come on and talk about their band, The Lost and Found. Now, I believe I said last week I was going to have Michael Dinn on this show, but that will be next week's podcast. So stay tuned for that conversation. In the meantime, I talked with two of the founding members of the band, The Lost and Found, Pat Sloan and Ben Chapman Smith. It is Pat Sloan's first time and Ben's third time on the show, so Ben's becoming a bit of a regular here on the podcast. In the meantime, they come on to talk about The Lost and Found, which is a Southern Gothic band that they founded back around, say, September, October time. They put out their debut album, Ship Shape, back in November, and they put out their most recent album, which is the RPM Challenge submission, Lies and Bad Intentions. We talk about the band's genesis, how they met, and a whole lot more. Plus, we talk more about what Ben's been up to when it comes to his production company, Can't Sleep Productions, and his most recent songwriting series with Youth Ventures. We're going to get to all that coming up here on the podcast as I welcome Pat and Ben to the show, but we'll get there right after the Newfound releases of the week as these songs were released between March 9th to the 15th. And we started off with Christian House. We had a song that came out about a month or two ago, and that was called Aurora Borealis, and that's from his upcoming album Breakthrough, which is being released through Citadel House Records. Right now, here is the second single from that upcoming album, Christian House, for you on the Newfound Releases segment of Musical Connections. This is Marionette.
Say it gets better with age, more convoluted each day. Say you're coming with me, but if you like what you see, then I hope that you stay. I think I'm going insane, thinking of quitting this game. If I think then I am, but when I think that I can't, you know it all feels the same. It comes on strongly at night, absence of light. Lay when I'm locked in my room, scratching the stones of my tomb. The spirit touches me right. To get bored, I think I'm wasting my life. I sold my soul for a price down at the company store. I try to swallow regret, shut down the voice in my head. The feeling leaves from my hands when I go to make amends. I'm like a marionette. And we sing when we jump on your orders. Ask how high is that for you, man? I'm taking a swing.
Sure.
scream aloud, string me up or tie me down.
Christian House for you on Musical Connections with Marionette. It comes off his album Breakthrough, set to be released later this year. And our first album drop of the week comes from R. Sheeves, and he is signed to Milltown Records. And if you're out in the Cornerbrook area coming up on Saturday, March 22nd, you can check out the album release show for R. Sheeves, which is going to be taking place 8 p.m. at the Rotary Arts Center. Right now, from that brand new record, Mary Spins, here's R. Sheeves for you now with It Gets Better on Musical Connections.
Thank you.
It Gets Better on Musical Connections, that was R. Sheeves. And that comes from his album Mary Spins, out now on your favorite streaming services, and on hard copy too. Our last newfound release of the week comes from hardcore band Smoke Signals, and they put out their EP Beyond the Mind this past Wednesday, and they celebrated that with a show which featured Bad Intent and Doberman at Aaron's Pub, and they accepted donations in support of Thrive. So, congratulations to the guys of Smoke Signals on the brand new EP. From that new album now, here are Smoke Signals with Born to Lose on the Musical Connections podcast.
Born to lose every day. Trying to take it away, it's the same. Born to lose, never ends. Run with me, with dead and free. Cross by the way of life to me. Drowned in dust, there's no relief. We're born to lose, no one can say. Only dust, there's never life.
Born to lose, stuck in chains. Rolling down into an empty grave. Born to lose, nothing's fine. Haunted by the echoes of wasted time.
Our newfound releases are done for this week, and for any Newfoundland and Labrador musicians out there that may be living at home or abroad, if you want to be a part of Newfound Releases, it's simple. You can check out how you qualify for this segment by heading over to my Linktree.com/ZachSnowNL, and you can find my Newfound Releases guide there in the Musical Connections Resources tab. Any other questions you might have about this segment, feel free to email musicalconnectionsnl@gmail.com. It is now time to welcome my guest to Musical Connections this week, and we found these two people that were lost along the way trying to figure out a way to get their new band out there. So they found Musical Connections to talk about The Lost and Found. It's a brand new Southern Gothic band founded by my guest, Pat Sloan and Ben Chapman Smith. They come on the show to talk about the brand new band and their most recent releases, which included Ship Shape back in November, and Lies and Bad Intentions, which was their release for the RPM Challenge of this year. We also talk about how the two guys met, and some things that Ben Chapman Smith, who's been on my show now for 3 times right now, which includes this one, is doing now with Youth Ventures and his production company, Can't Sleep Productions, which he's holding off shows for the independent music scene of Newfoundland and Labrador. This is such a fun conversation, and they also got a book to bring home with them as well. So let's get to this week's conversation on musical connections as we connect with two of the members of The Lost and Found, Ben Chapman Smith and Pat Sloan. Greetings, everyone. Welcome back to the Musical Connections podcast. This is the show where you'll discover more about the music of Newfoundland and Labrador. And joining me right now in the studio, we're going to discover a brand new Southern Gothic band. They formed back in the fall of 2024 and put out their first album, Ship Shape, back in December. And they did this live at the Ship. And this is the brainchild of my guest at this time, Pat Sloan, and welcoming back to the podcast, Ben Chapman Smith. Guys, they make up The Lost and Found. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Zach.
And congratulations again on this brand new band. You put out Lost and Found Ship Shape back in December. And you also put out your RPM challenge submission this year called Lies and Bad Intentions, which I forgot to say in the intro. It is a great, great band. I feature one of your songs on Newfound Releases. I think it was the start of the year called Raccoon, and very unique sound, Ben, because when I've had you on for 3 times now. I think you're one of the only 3-time guests on the show.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, it is definitely, especially compared to what we've talked about previously and what you would have heard from me. It is definitely not metal or punk. It's something completely different. And yeah, it's a good time.
Yeah. And I think it's a bit more of like outlaw country. I would probably imagine.
There, yeah. I think we get kind of elements of everything. I mean, it's all over the place because the song choice is all over the place, but there's arguably bits of bluegrass, definitely outlaw country, folk. Yeah.
It's a lot of stuff.
A lot of singer-songwriter stuff.
Yeah.
Or storytelling stuff, I mean to say.
Yeah.
Even elements of like vaudeville, maybe circus stuff that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Darker.
Circus, we're going to, I think that's kind of the goal we'll develop.
Yeah. Even maybe like New Orleans stuff, Dixie maybe.
Dixieland.
Like it's the kind
okay.
of all these things.
Yeah.
Who knows? Keep guessing.
For sure. It's definitely a brand new project that I remember you and I were talking about this during Music Celebration Week back in September, and you were talking about this new Southern Gothic group that you were coming up with, and you put out the debut effort, Ship Shape, back in December, and it's a great sounding album, and it really blew me away, because again, I've known you to be in the metal and punk scene for such a long time, but now you're diving more into like the folk and Americana and gothic kind of sound?
Yeah. So I wouldn't necessarily say that it's new, because this is actually a project that I've... This project is new. But the ethos, the kind of approach to kind of darker folk music and stuff like that has always been something I've been doing. I had a project when I first moved into the province called Benedict Drinks, which was the first project. Traveled across the province, played almost every single brewery in the province. A couple of them couldn't make it, unfortunately. But 13 or so dates... And back in Toronto, I had the same thing, and I did RPM as Benedict Drinks too. And eventually, I was kind of like, well, you know what? This is going to be it's a fun style to play in, and to really expand it, I need a team. And I ended up meeting Pat at some open mics, and we kind of ran into each other a couple of times.
Do you want to play bass on this stuff? And I said, yeah,
please play bass on my stuff. I'm sure it was kind of like
it worked out. Yeah,
yeah, great. So now we have a new version of it where we're actually, you know, writing some originals. We've got a bit more of a kind of vision of what we're doing with it, and it absolutely is a blast.
It's been a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. And would you say it's like a bit more of a complete version of Benedict Drinks?
Even though I guess in some ways, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't even compare, obviously I just said that they're kind of similar, but in terms of musical stylings or the atmosphere of creativity, where I'm creating stuff that isn't, again, using loud electric guitars and drum kits, it's always been a style I've been very interested in, like the folk punk and, again, Southern Gothic kind of a thing. Right. But I would say that this is its own beast, just by virtue of the fact that Pat's, like, a big part of it. And, like, we're trying to make it into a collaborative kind of a thing and really build it into something that's, I guess, in a positive way, I mean, this rebuilding the wheel kind of a thing, reinventing the wheel, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say it's kind of got its own life, that's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
It's kind of like been a little bit of a somewhat intentionally like rotating cast of characters. Like our band takes on a different form depending on the show.
Yeah.
It's almost like can be kind of event or project based kind of thing, depending on whatever we kind of dream up. Right.
What are the opportunities? Who's in town?
Yeah.
I think a big part of this, and this is partially for, you know, where I was coming from when I first started the project, is I wanted something. When I started that Benedict Drinks project way back in the day, the entire purpose of it to me was I would have all these different bands that were full rock bands that take a lot of time to write originals for, and then things would always happen. And I mean, I started probably at least a dozen projects throughout my early career in Toronto, and things would happen where we would finally get to a point where we're playing shows or recorded an album. And then the drummer moves away or something happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I made that Benedict Drinks project with this idea of being like, ah, whatever, whoever shows up kind of a thing. It can be an independent thing, and it can be, and that also is what kind of makes it fun is the fact that it's, you're really celebrating the fact that people are around in a different way.
Right.
Rather than it being like an obligation, like you have to be here for this show. Yeah. It's like, oh man, Gina's back in town. Let's play a gig. Yeah. Right. And it's actually a bit more of a
it's really good quality time with people.
We're celebration mm-hmm. music.
Yeah.
We are wedding music for everyday life.
For sure.
That's what we try to be.
Yeah, like our first like Ship Shape, we had a tuba player, Olive, and a clarinet. We had Lisa.
Yeah.
That was really cool. I'd never really been around tubas very much before. Especially I'd never played in a band like in this respect with clarinet or tuba. So that mm-hmm. was really neat. And who knows, that may be another thing in the future with them. It may not, like. I think it probably will.
I think there's some talks.
Yeah.
There's some talks.
But it's always different depending on what's going on.
Yeah.
We're sort of core, I guess, members.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the band really is you, Ben, and you, Pat.
Yeah.
But it can be rotating no matter what it is. It's kind of like, you know, say if you're like, if you had like a show on television and you have rotating members, is that kind of like what you're going for when it came to this Lost and Found project?
I think the big idea behind it is to be open to these things and to say like we like the novelty of being able to say, oh man, you know, Jenny's in the crowd, jump up on stage and you know, so
it's supposed to be fun.
It's supposed to be fun. It's more about making music like a participatory thing, and I think that a lot of the idea about being a collaborative comes from this idea of like, well, why can't we have people that we like that are talented just jump on stage and play music with us? Why can't we make these things happen in these ways? So yes, to answer your question, I think that ultimately, and this is still early days for sure, but I think the hope is we're going to develop into a way where we have some featured players, people that consistently come back, like, again, Olive and Lisa and Gina. Yeah. And we're talking to some other new people, too.
Gina's great.
That are all super talented. And, like, if I can just be, like, show up to this show and everybody shows up every time, I'm going to do that. But, you know, if things can't happen, like we said before, we don't want it to be hampered by the fact that people have different schedules and, you know, logistics is kind of the biggest killer in music, I find, a lot of the time. There would be so much amazing music in bands, but then figuring out how to make things happen with time and space happens, and you go,
yeah, it's the hardest part for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, of course, Ben, you've been on the show 3 times. This is your first time on the show, Pat, and I don't really know that much about you. Mm. So tell me a little bit about yourself and tell our listeners a bit more about Pat Sloan.
I'm a songwriter, a musician. I write a lot of my own stuff, too. I've been starting to play around. I'm originally from Niagara Falls, Ontario. And then I was in Toronto for a bunch of years, about 10 years. And it's time for something new, so I jumped over here. And I really love St. John's. It's been awesome. But yeah, I've just been a musician my whole life. That's kind of my thing. I teach music for part of my living. Play and I really love to write. I suppose it's probably my favorite thing. I like to improvise a lot too. Yeah,
that's awesome. Now were there any bands here that you've played before you got into this Lost and Found project, or are you just doing this solo by yourself?
A band with Tim Dodge called Dodge Band. They are like a heavier thing, so I play drums in that band. I guess I'm primarily a guitarist, is where I spent most of my time kind of working on. But I'm also a drummer. I've been playing drums my whole life, too, and a bass player. But, yeah, I played drums in that band. And I'm trying to think if there were other ones, but I think...
You had, what was that thing for the room? Rooms, yeah, the songwriting thing for as your solo.
That was one of my solo things. Yeah, like I won like an Arts and Letters award. And then
Wicked Song.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a wicked song. What's it? Tell the people what it's called, Pat.
It's called Can't Wait.
It's a good song.
By Pat Sloan, yeah.
It's a really good song.
That was really cool. Yeah, I just kind of recorded that and submitted it. It was like a, I don't know if you're familiar, it's like a grant contest kind
of
thing.
Yes, some of the people that have been a part of that, I think Lorna Lovell's won that. Summer Bennett's been a part of that too.
Yeah,
and
yeah, she was there when I, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Summer Bennett. That was really cool. Yeah, they put my song in the rooms for like a month or so. People could go and listen to it. I was blown away by that.
Wonderful. I'm going to stick with you for a minute. So how did you two guys meet?
We met at the, well, we actually met at work where I worked. And then you were doing sound on a gig that I played in a cover band. That's another band.
Right.
Edison Lane. And then, but really we started hanging out at the Ship's open mic when James Avalon was hosting that. And then Ben now became the host there. And
once more,
yeah, and
the history of it,
we just kind of started hanging out there, and it was great. Like, that had been really awesome for building community for me, just kind of hanging out, and playing songs, and like being like, oh, well, let's play together, right? So, that's kind of what happened. We started playing songs at the Ship's open mic Monday nights,
which was the entire idea behind the Ship Shape thing, was kind of like, okay, we have this project. We wanted to be playing shows. Let's set a deadline. And we have this open mic, which is a convenient way to get people out. So we said, let's just learn a set and record it live. I agree. I think the album came out great. But did you know? Tell them how that was recorded.
Oh, yeah. We had all these designs on setting up a pretty
sophisticated
recording, because it was a live album is what that was. So we got the whole band together and played it at the Ship, at the open mic, right? So you have all these other people in the room who are also going up and playing and hanging out and coming up. But November, man, November was a bit of a killer that month.
I was sick the entire month. We planned all this stuff.
It wow.
was brutal.
You were deathly
ill. I was dying.
I was too.
It was not good.
And so we just ended up recording in like a really simple setup with like Zoom.
It's hilarious to me because like I was basically written the entire thing off, and Pat shows up with his field recorder.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, maybe it'll be good.
Yeah. And I remember on the table.
Yeah. We had like 30 seconds. We're like, I don't know, probably over here, close to the bass. We'll make sure that it'll pick that up because it's not going through the mains. And then I remember listening back to it and actually being like, I remember just smiling and being like, this is great. Like, this is.
Yeah, it actually worked out.
Yeah, it worked out really great. So good job on the placement, buddy.
We weren't sure if it was going to happen for a minute there.
Well, yeah, I was almost certain it was gone for, and then and it sounds decent. So hey,
and you recorded this at the open mic night where you were hosting too, right, Ben?
Yeah. So
it
was my birthday as well, which was nice. Again, back to the entire celebration stuff. I really like that being an idea behind what we do live. I think, you know, we really want to be the ambassadors of good time. We want to make sure that people are feeling like they should and can stomp their feet, clap their hands, and sing along.
Yeah, it's kind of like a party, right?
We want the anyway. 100%. So yeah, it was my birthday, and that was fun. And, I kind of did this whole, I don't know, we planned it out. It was a good time. It was my birthday. There you go. That's what I have to add to
them. They brought,
raccoon pirates.
Yeah.
Cause
Amy, raccoon. Made it, the bartender, Amy made that. That was awesome. Brought it out.
The Ship's been a good place for me. I feel like,
lots of love.
Yeah. Lots of love at the Ship. It's always been, I mean, and again, I say, I returned to hosting. I hosted it a ton when Music NL was doing this in 2021. I think I did it like 13 times.
Wow.
It's been a regular thing for me. Yeah. And Dave Shears was still the project manager. There were many a time where I got a last minute call on Monday being like, hey, do you want to, can you maybe come down here?
Yeah.
And because, so, yeah.
Because you knew all those like dark folk songs from Benedict Drinks.
Yeah.
That was the material that you were playing there. And that's kind of how.
Exactly. So that's kind of getting us up and running to the point where we can play. We're looking at booking some more shows. We've got some stuff where we're organizing live events with bands, but we're also, because of the flexibility and versatility of the project, we can go and play, you know, standard cover circuit, like brewery gigs and stuff like that, you know, make sure that we throw in maybe a bit of Waylon Jennings or stuff like that that's actually going to hit with people that are looking for covers.
Oh, yeah.
But we find what's really great about this music is because of its nature, because it's got folk and the instrumentation's familiar and all these things, there's a lot of like local receptors for traditional trad and folk music that this hits really well. Right. So even if people aren't able to sing along with the chorus the first time they hear it because they've never heard it, it still feels so familiar that it's a really accessible style of music, which again, compared to the punk and metal bands of the past.
For sure.
I just want to highlight how much not like that it is. You should go listen to it. We're on Lost and Found, the Lost and Found Band NL is our Bandcamp and social media Instagram.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, how did you come up with this name, The Lost and Found? Whoever wants to take that on.
I think it was just something that kind of described the ethos of, like, you know, Lost and Found. It's loose. We have people coming and going.
It's like, that was definitely part of it was definitely to be tongue in cheek about the fact that it's meant to be a bit of a collaborative.
Yeah.
And it's like lost and found musicians, like people that were just kind of pulling up.
Yeah.
For me, I also just really like the, we'll say imagery for lack of a better word, but kind of the subject matter of Lost and Found as a concept, the idea of having this dark music that talks about, like, you know, not again, it's not like super dark. It's not like it's going to make you weep or anything like that, but it's not like sunshine and rainbows. And I think that having, especially folk music, having music that's going to be, that kind of says it's okay to feel that way. It kind of plays off this sense of like desperation and hope, which I think is really important and fundamental to music in general, let alone folk music. So that was kind of always a big thing for me. Is like it kind of felt like with the subject matter, it resonated with the style of music and the kind of things we were singing about. It reflected the format of the project in terms of it being a collaborative. There's probably some more stuff, but that's probably...
we like the aesthetic of it, I suppose.
It looks good on paper, too.
Oh, yes.
One of those little... and signs, and it's
ampersand.
Ampersand, yes.
Lovely.
Ampersand.
Ampersand. That could be another song you guys could do, or maybe that could be the title of an album. There you go.
You never know.
Now, what are some of the sounds and some of the bands that you guys take inspiration from to, you know, help craft this new sound?
Big one for me is the Devil Makes Three.
Yeah, Devil Makes Three.
It's a good quarter of our set, if not more. Possibly originally, almost. I mean, for me, when I was first doing this with Benedict Drinks, again, I got into this through the folk punk avenue. I had a lot of friends in Toronto that, you know, were folk punks and had like punk houses, and you would just go to these house party shows, and people would just be playing this everywhere, and I always dug that. And I liked, again, like I've always enjoyed all types of music, even though, again, I'm usually known as, like, you know, doing metal and punk stuff, a lot of like my early days on guitar was like studying jazz guitar and stuff like that. And I love music. I love all kinds of music. Mm-hmm. I love supporting people in self-expression, this kind of a thing. So I was in this community and I was like, okay, this is maybe a good opportunity to do this kind of stuff. And so that was another band that was on play around that time, Devil Makes Three. So I was like, okay, let's check them out. I'd say some other ones, because we cover them, include Ben Kaplan.
I was going to say Ben Kaplan. He's an East Coaster.
Yeah, has that kind of vibe. I think, again, it's tricky depending on the lineup, but like there's things where we've talked about getting into like klezmer and hot jazz elements of this.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see where it develops, because I think this first RPM was a lot about kind of setting the tone for where we are right now.
Yeah, it's like a snapshot. It's a quick.
But I expect stuff's going to evolve.
I mean,
without promising it will either, but like I think you're going to, it's a project where concept albums could work well, where we could do something where it's like, we're going to make it as circusy as we can here. We're going to make it as, you know, hot jazz, Paris, whatever, here kind of a thing, as whatever Django as we can, kind of.
Yeah, whatever we're interested at the time. Which is
and who's around.
Yeah, and who's around.
And that's kind of why it's wicked too, is because. Right. You never know.
Totally. It's like one thing that I really like about this is that we do have that freedom to kind of, like, there's a lot of freedom to move around. There's a lot of genres that cross over. Mm-hmm. Like, myself personally, too, like Ben was saying, like, he studied jazz. Like, I studied jazz. Like, when I went to school for music, I studied jazz.
It shows more with his playing.
I studied classical music. I was in, like, a punk band. I was in, you know, like, I love heavy music. I love Elliott Smith. I love, like, you know. I just love music. I like tons of stuff, right? I love hip hop. Like, so all of these things, it's nice to be able to be able to put a bunch of things together.
Wonderful.
I don't imagine we'll be rapping anytime soon.
If you want to get semantic about it, if you start looking at lyrics and rhyme schemes, yeah. What's the difference, buddy?
There are a couple of country tracks out there that you probably incorporated, like The Man Comes Around by Johnny Cash, sure. A Boy Named Sue.
Yeah. Sure, yeah. I've gotten, again, especially when I did that brewery tour, there was a lot of people. I mean, aside from asking for Sweet Caroline, there was a lot of requests for Johnny Cash, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Again, and same way, I think there is a, for what we do, there's receptors for it. There's people that already kind of know the vibe yeah. and the style, and they can hear it, and it sounds really familiar, so I think.
There's more infrastructure set up for folk. You know, we're in Newfoundland.
Right? Say that.
Yeah.
Compared to being in a metal band, like this is what Ben was kind of saying. Like, there's a lot more that you can plug into with that style of music compared to some heavier stuff, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, we're going to change subjects for a minute because you've also been running a production company promoting metal and punk music here in town called Can't Sleep Productions. Mm-hmm. You've been holding off a wide array of shows since you started this, I believe, back in the fall and fall or winter or something like that. I may be wrong on that front, but you featured a fair amount of great shows that you've had at the Second Stage, which has since closed down. It's sad to hear that it's closed. So tell me a little bit about Can't Sleep Productions.
Can't Sleep Productions came about in a roundabout way. I wouldn't actually classify it as punk and metal because it's really meant to be, well, so I teach music and I have extended my education into like industry education stuff, which means there's bits of artist development. I'm helping people produce stuff. I'm basically kind of having, you know, the first session. And in addition to asking what they want to learn how to play on guitar, whatever, I'm saying, what are things that you want to accomplish as a musician if you want to do this? That's basically led me into helping kind of mentor some bands.
Okay.
And a big part of that is trying to show them how these things work, like how you organize your shows and how do you, so I end up organizing a lot of events with these acts for these acts to get them some experience on stage and stuff like that and kind of help them develop. And fundamentally what happened is I kept on organizing these shows in this manner. I won't go and list the bands, but I kept on doing this. And eventually people started being like, so like, you're going to post these somewhere? Like, is there a social media handle where we can follow your stuff? So eventually I was like, okay, I guess I should probably do this. So that it kind of came out of necessity that I was like, okay, we'll just do Can't Sleep. Let's get it done. I've been really busy. I do literally everything. There's stuff where it's like folk and like some of the Lost and Found stuff has been Can't Sleep Productions. We're going to be having, I'm not announcing the lineup yet, but in like mid-May we're doing a cool like outlaw country night with a bunch of different acts in town and bands. And that's going to be Can't Sleep, but it's very folk oriented. Mm-hmm. I just dropped three shows. One of them is a jazz punk night with Big Space, Killer 9000, Dickie and the Birds at the Ship. That's on April 11th. There is the Kicker, which is a younger, at least half of them, two-thirds of them are in high school still. They're doing an album release. We've just produced an album for them. So they're dropping that on CD at Pavlov's Electric Veranda on the 5th and 6th of April. And on the 4th of April at Black Sheep, I'm doing a show with Pat Sloan, his solo stuff. Greta and the Goldfish, Boys Who Think, Twin Brooks, and the Fence Sitters. It's everybody. And that's going to be very like indie leaning. So what I'm really trying to do, again, it's while people know me from a certain territory, and I'm not trying actively to distance myself.
Oh yes, absolutely, myself included.
I'm always going to be there with it. But I think it's the same thing where like people kind of knew that I was a bass player first before realizing like, oh, he actually is a guitar player and he actually does vocals and he actually like I can play drums and there's a lot of other things that I just haven't really shown the scene yet.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of happy about this because again, I do love that community, and the punk and metal community is always going to be close to my heart. But like, again, I love the idea of helping people that want to make music. I think that anybody, even if I don't particularly like what you're doing, I love that human beings are spending their time in creative ways and pursuing their interests. And I couldn't think of a better thing to do with your time than to try to make that accessible to people.
Absolutely. And ever since I've known you, like I first met you when you and Paul Brake, when you were with Precious Blood, you were promoting that big album release show.
So Paul.
Hey, Paul, what's up? So when I first met you, you were promoting that big show, and that's really what I've associated you with as. But ever since I've come to know you, you've been a promoter for heavy metal music, but also for independent music as a whole.
Yes.
You're doing folk, you're doing punk, you're doing country, you're doing all these other genres that may not
blues and rock, and even actually some cover stuff too. I'll just say that too. There's another one April 12th that's not finalized, but sorry.
Oh, no worries. But all I'm saying is, like, you're also filling a void of, like, you know, or maybe, like, you know, expanding on that reach of, like, I've had Tamara Cater on Musical Connections back in November.
Yes.
And she was talking about how, like, where Newfoundland and Labrador has come a long way in its music industry. There's still that need for publicists. There's still need for booking agents and managers and stuff.
Yeah.
And it seems like you're filling another space where we could have more than enough. Because you look at the Maritimes, they have plenty.
Right. A really cool thing that Ben does that I think is awesome is that you are actually, like, developing, like, helping people. You're almost like developing artists.
Yes.
And like say, there is a lot, like, you can go to school and learn a ton about whatever, you know, you can learn about music itself, music theory and playing music and all this stuff, or go to a teacher, but, like, to actually learn about the industry and, like, how do I start a band?
Yeah.
How do I go on tour? Like,
what does that mean?
What does that mean? What is all this stuff? Like, that there is, like, definitely a vacuum there of education, and, like, you just kind of got to learn from the people you know. You learn it by trying and doing it yourself, but, like, Ben is kind of providing that for a lot, especially, like, young artists.
Yeah,
and I think that's really cool.
If I can,
go for it.
There's a lot of things in life that you have to learn on your own, and I think there's a value to experiential learning to actually get your hands dirty to do it. You can learn. Action and theory, in theory, are the same thing. In action, they are not. I think a lot of what I try to do, basically, is be the person that I would have wanted to help me out back in the day.
Yes.
We've all had that thing where, for a silly reason, your progress has been hampered. Either you don't know what the next step is, you don't know how to book a gig, you don't know how to book the recording, you can't find a band. And there are always really simple solutions to this, but you just don't have the perspective to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
So fundamentally, my entire ethos behind this was, like, I meet people and, like, straight up, if I have a new student, I'll be like, what do you want to do? Like, tell me what you want to accomplish in a ridiculous, big sky, daydreaming kind of way.
Yeah.
And let's see how we would look at making that a practicality. And if you hate all the steps to get you there, maybe it's not the move. But if you really, really, really want it, these are some things that can at least help. And I'm not saying that I know. I don't know everything, but I am actively trying.
You know something
about it.
You know what you're doing.
I will at least put my time and effort and thought into it.
And that's, you put a lot of thought into it.
I can't.
Big time.
I can't.
Big time. Amen to that.
Oh, Pat. You guys. Thanks. Appreciate it.
And nobody knows everything. I mean, I don't know everything. But if there's one thing that I've learned from covering the music scene, and especially, you know, being in media for the past decade, getting degrees can really, for me, be a waste of time, because a lot of But it depends, because I went for a
valid,
teaching studies degree, and the most that I've learned out of, you know, being in the media is volunteering with CHMR and volunteering with the Muse.
Doing the thing, right?
Yes. Yeah. I became a better writer because of the Muse. I became a better sound engineer and on-air personality because of CHMR, and also for VOWR as well.
Right.
It's that hands-on experience that can really help you out better in the long run than, say, what a college degree would do. But it also depends on the circumstance, too.
Absolutely.
True.
And by no means am I ever – I'm not sure if I said anything previously to discount that. Absolutely. I have multiple degrees, diplomas and stuff like that, that some of them I didn't finish. But, like,
as I said, depends on the circumstance.
But it's also – it's, you know, what are you doing with your time, right?
Like, exactly.
If you're – one of the coolest things that's always been to me is, like, if you can go and study music post-secondary, you just have time to study music. Do you realize how cool that is?
Yeah.
Like, your life and existence is just studying the knowledge that we have. I mean, obviously, it's not everything, but that's invaluable. Now, the question is, are you enrolling in these classes and programs and trying to get these degrees because of the piece of paper, or are you doing it with the headspace of, I'm going to learn everything I can about this while I'm doing it, and I'm going to use it? Because if you're not using it,
you're losing it.
Well, yeah. Well, it's, yeah, it just.
No.
Yeah, but, like, why'd you sign up for it in the first place?
Action versus theory and that kind of thing. Like, learning, like, through action, like what you're saying, is really, I mean, that's how I learn. I mean, I can learn by reading something in a book or learning music theory, but, like, I find for me and probably most people, until you're making it real for yourself and practical and putting it to use,
yeah.
like it doesn't really mean
anything almost
that much.
Yeah. To yeah.
you. It's not really, it hasn't really been transformed into something real or based in reality.
Definitely. Yeah. Application mm-hmm. is application. A necessary step for this
yeah,
stuff.
It's, yeah.
I think that that is something I see all the time with, and it's not just music industry, it's people all over the place where it's like, if hypothetically somebody told me, if I follow through and I do all these things, I'll get a job.
Right.
And it's like that episode of South Park with the underpants gnomes where there's just like one step that's missing. And it's like, what is that step? Right. And it's like, I will show you, play a show. This is how it works. So yeah, I'm a big fan of actually trying to, and I don't call it management. There are some acts that have like said that I'm their manager and I'm not. I am trying to mentor. I'm trying
yeah.
to show them while I'm doing it so that they can do it so that I can leave and then they understand mm. and know. Because that's...
Teach a man to fish.
Teach a man to fish.
Yes.
Teach a man to play guitar. How to teach a man to write a song.
There you go.
That was a fun time too. Yeah.
Have you considered getting into music management at all? Like managing bands?
Buddy, I just want to play guitar. You know what I mean? You know what I mean, though?
Like, I know.
I do. I think it's again, there's a lot of things in the music industry that get hoisted on you as a necessity of like, oh, you want to pay your bills doing music stuff? Well, you have to expand beyond just playing, or you're playing cover circuit gigs that are going until 2 o'clock in the morning, 5 days a week. And honestly, I like sleep too much to do that. But yeah, I think I've considered that kind of stuff. But I don't think I need to use the pre-established kind of formats for it. I think I can learn those skills and use those skills in a way that benefits me without having to make that a primary service I offer. Because again, I think, well, I'm not going to say never because my life is just like that. Opportunities come up and I start going, oh, what if I do this?
Yeah.
But it's never been a goal. I don't know, man. That's a hard one.
Yeah,
really
yeah.
You got me with that. I feel like, yes, in the right circumstance with the right people, yes. But it would have to be a situation where only with projects I really, really deeply care about that have proven they know what they're doing, that really want to pursue things.
You could manage me if you want.
I mean, you know, it's to me too, like a lot of us like helping out the homies anyway. So it's yeah. like, what's that different right. other than that we have a formal conversation about right. like payout and I'm a little bit more on the hook for you. But I mean, all the time, when I'm organizing shows, when I'm trying to create opportunities, I'm thinking about like, you know, who in town could use a hand?
Yeah.
Who's really, really good that doesn't know like one or two elements that could really set them off? Like, I think, again, back to the punk and metal scene, there's so many talented bands out there,
yeah.
but they don't necessarily know how to access the funding cycle of things, which is make or break. If you don't know how to get funds to get off this province, especially right. in Newfoundland and Labrador,
how do you write a grant, right?
How
do you even look out for what grants exist?
What do these arts organizations even offer us? I've heard conversations right. where it's like, oh, I'm going to sign up with this arts organization and they're just going to do stuff for us. And it's like, that's not how this works.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, if you just kind of, I'm kind of getting off onto too much of a tangent here.
Oh, absolutely.
But yeah, I've considered artist management. I don't think it's something that I'm going to actively pursue unless it's a very rare circumstance and it makes sense for everybody involved.
Yeah. I mean, we could be here all day just talking about like, how can we improve the music industry? How can we help these young up and coming artists learn everything possible to be successful and really make a living at this?
For sure.
Mm-hmm. But we could be here all day, yeah. but I really do want to like, you know, get to
please.
Wrap this up.
Yes, yes,
but I want to highlight something that you did recently. Through Youth Ventures. It's called yeah. the Songwriting Series.
Yes.
And you've had Liz Fagan down there. You've had Pete McDonald from With Violet down there.
Kelly McMichael.
Kelly McMichael's yeah. there as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
So how did that all come together?
Cool, yeah. So in 2023, I left a job and started working with, briefly, for Music NL as the Music Celebration Week event coordinator. What a mouthful of words.
Yeah.
And shortly after I finished that position, Rhonda Talk, who was the CEO, I believe CEO was the position
yeah.
at the time,
yeah.
Had this friend that worked with Youth Ventures that was looking for people that are eager to basically work with young people. And that was about the extent of it. And she was always trying to find, Rhonda was always trying to find ways to create new collaborations and partnerships with Music NL, which I thought was really cool.
Oh, yes.
So she ended up just kind of saying, hey, listen, if you want to hang around with Music NL for a little bit longer, we have this opportunity for the Youth Ventures program, which is fundamentally a program that's about teaching young people entrepreneurial skills.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, yeah, and we're going to partner with Youth Ventures And basically, it's going to be a delivery of, you know, teaching people entrepreneurial skills, but specifically focusing on the music industry. So I did a delivery of that in, that would have been 2024. And that went great. And then they decided, hey, let's try it again, since the first one went decently. And the timing just lined up perfectly with RPM season, February. Right. So I said, I know how to get some outreach happening. Because again, a lot of the time this program is delivered like at schools, elementary schools, high schools, and stuff like that. But I thought, well, we can get a portion of those people that may participate, may be interested in music. But if I just create an event specifically catered towards young people in the music industry, and let's be realistic, they define young people as between 12 and 29. So in the music industry, that's like probably more than half the industry, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that need help. Like, they don't know what that next step is. So my entire job, basically, the way that I see it with Youth Ventures through MusicNL, is to kind of go to people and say, what's your sticking point?
All right,
let's talk about your sticking point. There are some resources I use and stuff like that to kind of guide their thinking through things. And that was it. So the songwriting series and workshop series was a five-week series where we would have a professional development session, ranging on everything from live sound to business skills for a musician, non-performance careers in music, songwriting 101, recording 101. Those are all of them. And then we had a songwriting session, which was mostly, it was a little bit guided in that I would provide suggestions. We had a featured songwriter that would talk about their music, how they approach songwriting first, just to get people thinking. And I'd throw out like a prompt or two, like write a song that starts with a chorus, or write a, you know, like little suggestions and prompts. And it was great. We had like 20 people sign up, which is, again, for this specifically that Youth Ventures delivery is like good numbers to get that many people that are interested in music.
Awesome.
And yeah, it was a wild success. You showed up for the open mic part, which was great. Good to see you there.
It was great to be there, and had a great time attending
it. Yeah, I was really, really happy with the outcome of that. You know, I do a lot of shows, so I'm used to dealing with really large numbers. So in my head, I was like, I'm going to organize this series. We're going to have like 60 people. I'm going to be, you know, can't fit them all in the door kind of a situation. And sometimes, I'm, you know, 20 is not crazy. But when I think about it, as I helped 20 songs come into existence, I helped 20 people write music really cool. And create that, I actually realized how incredibly awesome it was. And we got great responses. A lot of people seemed to be, you know, I think every session I was kicking people out and they had smiles on their faces. So that's usually a good sign. They wanted to hang out and they enjoyed themselves. So.
Yes, and it's getting that foot in the door for any musicians that really want to, like, you know, take that jump and really start songwriting but don't know how.
Yeah.
It's giving them that platform and giving them that opportunity that they may not get elsewhere.
And not only that, again, where the Youth Ventures is trying to teach entrepreneurial skills, it's also usually the first step in pursuing music, right? Like, usually we're all drawn in by the creative element of it, figures. And there's a lot of people that know how to do that part. They know that part intimately. But they don't know, okay, how does this become a real thing now? Yeah. I know that in my bedroom or when I play live, I can sound amazing. But how do I make that happen? What are the other steps? And how do I get money? And so my whole hope was like, hey, people, come write songs. If you have downtime, by the way, anyone watching this, if this comes out in time, this position runs until March 29th. You can contact me at music@youthventuresnl.com if you'd like to chat. And a big part of the position basically is just having chats with people and saying, yeah, what do you want to accomplish? What's your business? And what barriers are you hitting?
I think a really, really valuable thing too, like about that songwriter series that you did is like meeting other songwriters mm-hmm. and meeting other people. Like that's, mm-hmm. you know, we're talking about school, we're talking that kind of thing. The most valuable thing networking. You have really is like the other people that you know.
Right? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I would love to do more like put together, you know, regular songwriter circles and stuff like that. Like I think that would be really cool. Yeah.
I've considered it. I will say, too, one of the coolest parts about that songwriting series, everything was free. It was 100%. There was a bunch of, I mean, obviously things cost money to rent out spaces. We had Lanya Vanya, which came through to save us after second stage. And of course, like nothing, I'm not making any comments about the cost or anything like that. But the fact that I was able to offer this entire program for free was really wicked to me. And I am really hopeful. Again, we had some really good responses, both from my bosses as well as individuals that were participating. So I am very, very hopeful that we can do something like that again.
Oh, yeah, big time. And again, another opportunity for musicians and up-and-coming singer-songwriters that want to take that next step.
Mm-hmm.
So you recently put out an RPM yourselves as a Lost and Found called Lies and Bad Intentions.
Yes.
And I want to talk about the RPM challenge as a whole, because I recently had Ellie Leon on the podcast to talk about the RPM challenge. That, and I recently hit a record, Newfound Releases, 30 of them, 21 out of 30 were from this challenge. Pretty insane. I don't know how it did it. And I'm never going to have those numbers again. Just letting you guys know that now, but you never know.
Next year.
Next year, absolutely. Right. Now, how important are those challenges for singer-songwriters and especially, like, you know, creators that want to, like, you know, take that jump?
Yeah, for me, it's been really big RPM. Like, I didn't know about RPM until I moved here a couple of years ago. And, yeah, just... I don't know. It's been a lot of fun. I mean, it's, I love it. You know, having a deadline on what you're doing is like a really, I think like.
Forces you to make it real.
It's so important. I think people like don't, including myself, like, you know, don't realize how important something is, you know, or a deadline is. But for me, it's been awesome. I've loved it. Like that was like a big experience for me. Like soon after I moved here, I did an RPM challenge. I just wrote a song. I wrote one song and I put that out, and they emailed me and they ended up interviewing me on CBC about it. And they put me on The Signal and played my song. And I was like, what the hell's going on?
What an outcome.
CBC are great. CBC are great though. And like having that kind of supporting the independent singer-songwriters. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah. They are for sure. And like, so for that, for me, that was like an early little taste of like, holy crap, like, you know, this is something, you know, this is really exciting.
There's momentum to this. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
When you're like, you're kind of hesitant to start something and then you give it a little bit of gas and the universe is like, we're receptive to this.
It's a good sign, right?
It's a great sign.
And then the arts and letters thing, like putting that in the museum there and like my song. And but yeah, RPM. Both years, well, I guess this is my third time doing it now.
Yep.
It's been a lot of fun. I love writing. I love recording. I do a lot of recording myself. I have some stuff ready to drop. I'm just going to play a few more shows around before I put it out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, some of that has come to light through RPM. But this one, I think like a big thing about this RPM for us was like writing together for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
For me,
that was for me too.
Yeah, and like just kind of getting to know you in that way and seeing each other's workflow, recording and that kind of thing, that was really fun. And I think that, like, you know, just grew the relationship and, you know, made me, you know, and the respect that I have for you was grown from that too. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. We came up with some stuff that we liked. We came up with five or six songs, I think.
Six songs in a month. It's pretty good for an RPM,
too. And usually
it's like first RPM numbers. I feel like everybody has that first one where they're like, I'm going to do so much. And then every subsequent RPM is a song or two because they realize
That's
like, six songs is a lot.
It is.
Yeah.
I usually get, I don't want to say stuck, but I get really into one song and I'll put all these layers and then I put one song out. So it was cool to kind of like, you know, really quickly put together six of them in the small amount of time that we had to kind of get together and do it and just go. Like,
oh,
it's like the best feeling, I think, getting into that creative flow state. It's just so
the good. Just go comment, I think, really resonates. The fact that we went from zero songs to six that are not, I mean, I don't know if they're all going to be like top grade on the greatest hits or anything, but like they're decent songs. Right. There's not a single one of them I don't like.
Right.
And just to know that we can create that out of thin air if we had such a push is it's good to know.
Just, you know, it was like a good exploration of ourselves and like what we can do.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's a good starting point for that, I think.
Oh, for sure. Now, we're going to get to one of those songs off the RPM Challenge shortly following this conversation on the Musical Connections podcast. So any other future plans for any more music? Are going to do like another full-length album this time where you guys go into the studio and record this and really make a go at it?
I could see us doing more live recordings just to kind of commemorate some of the things we do, especially if we're, you know, doing something we feel is special. I could see that happening. But yeah, I do see us writing more.
Recording party? I don't imagine that would happen.
Why would we stop?
There's talks about, you know, we've talked about looking at... Now, so again, I think to... the first phase of this was kind of getting a band together and getting a set together, which was the Ship Shape thing.
Yeah.
And then phase two has been very fast, which has just been recording these songs and getting some originals going.
Yeah.
And now that we have a full set plus originals and a band, it's a question of what do bands do? What do we want to do? And that's right. Usually making plans to play a lot live, record some albums. We have a lot of cool creative projects again, as Pat's kind of mentioned. Yeah. Like a lot of the stuff is very project based. Yeah. So, I mean, we've thrown around ideas of doing like a live recording in a kind of stylized manner, kind of like old school 1930s condenser microphone kind of stuff could be fun. But I can't say a timeline yet. Definitely original music coming. Yeah. Definitely lots of live shows.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you mentioned the socials earlier. We're just going to wrap up here. But plug the socials one more time and where people can find at a Lost and Found.
You want to?
Lost and Found, I know.
Lost and Found. Yeah.
Band. I know. Look it up.
This didn't happen, people.
We're going to find out.
We nailed it the first time.
We're going to find out what our socials are.
This is actually not live. We're recording this.
Well, how good are your editing skills, Zach?
They're wicked.
Good.
But we're keeping this in.
The Lost and Found NL on Instagram. And that's our Bandcamp as well.
And if you search either of our names, Pat Sloan or Ben Chapman Smith,
chances are if you look the Lost and Found St. John's, Google is going to take care of you.
There is also a woman who's quite a bit older than me named Pat Sloan who does quilting.
Okay.
Who has kind of eaten up my Google ability for my entire life, but that's I really like
really
her.
Funny.
I quite like her.
Yeah.
Beautiful quilt.
Is it Ben Chapman Smith too that I've been battling? Yeah. There can only be one, especially with a hyphenated name like that.
This is a lot of fun, guys. This won't be your last time. I can guarantee you that. This will definitely not be your last time. This is already done here three times already, and this will not be your last, Pat. So Pat Sloan and Ben Chapman Smith, they are the founding members of the Lost and Found. Thanks for doing this, and
you're very welcome.
Get that book.
Everybody, I'd also like to plug my book here. This is Sea Dogs and Skippers.
It's not actually
we don't know what it's about.
It's about dogs that drive a ship, and then there's a big ghost dog that is chasing the ship.
We think it's Skipper. Ocean. We think the dog's Skipper.
Yeah.
Buy my book.
It's by Ben Chapman Smith, not Giff. Guys, thanks for doing this.
Thanks so much, Zach.
Always a great time to catch up with Ben Chapman Smith and getting to know Pat Sloan a little bit more. Those were my guests this week on Musical Connections. You can find them on social media by going to The Lost and Found NL. So that's The Lost and Found, TheLostAndFoundNL. I didn't have to spell out all of that, but it's and the word, not the ampersand. Well, this was a newfound released last week, and it's going to be played this week on the Musical Connections podcast. From their album Lies and Bad Intentions, here are Lost and Found with Put Me Out to Pasture.
First thing by the light of day, so much trouble. Nothing right is on the wind. It's a perfect day for the foul mood I'm in for you. So just put me out. Just put me out. Put a hole in my heart and it all went up in flame. So just put me out. Just put me out. From
smiles from across the room. When you look at me, everybody else sees it too, I swear. What are you doing? Look on your face when I walk in the room. Don't you know everyone else can't see us too, I swear. What are you doing,
going to do it for me for another week. A big thank you to Pat and Ben for joining me as my guest on Musical Connections. To all the musicians who contributed their songs for Newfound Releases, thank you so much for trusting me to spin your tunes and connecting your music with the rest of the world. Coming up next week on the podcast, as I said the week prior, Michael Dim was supposed to be the guest this week, but plans change, things change, so he will be on next week's show, and this was such a fun conversation, I gotta tell ya. We talk about his most recent RPM submission, which included stuff from his solo project Grogbit and Smoke Spectre. We also talk about the amount of bands that he has been in, from Baytown with the likes of Mozzie, a previous guest on the show, to the Cartridge Family, which included Jordan Young. Fun fact about that, too. So we'll talk about that next week as well. And the Daisy Cutters. And some of the bands that they've got to open up for, like Matthew Goodband, Simple Plan, The Trues, Northern Pikes, among others. And if you want to follow along and be a part of my mission of growing our sector one song at a time, here's what you can do. You can like, follow, and subscribe to this podcast by typing Musical Connections in the search bar and following and subscribing to the podcast to make sure you do not miss an episode. And while you're there, make sure when you're done listening to an episode, leave a review on the page, because it spreads the word about this show and the music of this province, as we are doing everything that we can to connect the music of Newfoundland and Labrador to the world. New episodes drop every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts. There may be some bonus episodes that drop whenever it becomes available. It may drop on a Thursday, it may drop on a Friday, it may drop on a Sunday, Saturday. Just make sure to stay tuned and keep your ear to the Musical Connections social media channels, whether it's Zach Snow on Facebook, Zach Snow NL on Instagram, or to the Musical Connections NL YouTube channel. Don't forget to subscribe there as well, and make sure you do not miss a video version of my conversations you hear each and every single week on the podcast. And I'm trying to hit 1,000 subscribers. It'll be a big step towards monetization and expanding this podcast, which is a great way to support independent media. That's going to do it for me for this week. This has been episode 115 of the Musical Connections podcast. Thank you so much for connecting. I've been your host, Zach Snow. Join me next week, where once more we will highlight the music of Newfoundland and Labrador. Stay safe, be kind to one another, and most importantly, stay connected. Until next time, bye for now.